Revelation 22:13, it says this. This is God talking. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The word of God for the people of God.
I love that passage. It doesn't leave any like questioning there, does it? It's like, this is who I am. I am everything. I am all. I am everything and I am all. So today, this is going to be the second part of the Who Needs God series. It's been a really challenging and exciting series, I think, for many of us. So I'm going to be speaking to believers in a way that this is going to answer maybe some questions that you might have that you've been afraid to ask. And also give you some answers for people that ask you questions and maybe look at a different point of view. Because when you're in the church for a long time and you're raised in the church, you have a certain set of point of view and somebody else comes at you with it and then you're confused by it or even offended by it. And you don't respond with love or even with a good answer. And so I wanted to challenge you in that way. And then maybe people that aren't believers or have believed at one time and have fallen away. This is really where this is for you. So this series is by Andy Stanley. So I don't want to take credit for all this stuff because he's the one that did all the work. I'm just talking. So the question I'd like to ask yourself today is, whom have you really been serving or whom have you walked away from? So I want to suggest to you that the gods that you've been serving never existed to begin with. And Jesus was too fragile to help much anyway. And I love, well, actually I hate this. A lot of times you think in like cartoons and things, they portray Jesus as this weak, meek little guy. And it's terrible because you read the gospels, you see who Jesus really is. He doesn't take crap from nobody. And he tells it how it is, and he speaks the truth, and he does it in a way that it offends, but brings people to him. So how, I don't know, it's pretty awesome. So if we can read the scriptures and learn how he is. So that's not the Jesus that we know, and we would like everybody else to understand. So now everybody has religious doubts, even you, right? You have doubts, there's things you like struggle with, you have a hard time with. Now, both ends of the spectrum, I'm going to say the end of the spectrum is atheism or belief, right? So those are going to be the two ends of the spectrum. Both ends of the spectrum can be unsettling and overwhelming at times, right? I mean, the God and who he is and all that he is can be incredibly overwhelming. And you're like, wow, that's a little bit. Or if you go the other spectrum and you take God out of the picture and it's just science and facts, that can be very overwhelming too. I find when I go over to this other end, I find like, well, what's the point? Is there a point? Am I just living to live? Like, what's the point? And that's where I find myself here. And then this other end of the spectrum, it's very challenging because I'm like, now I'm called to live a holy life. I'm called to do all these things. And that's a lot too. So there's these two huge things that people struggle with. And I wanted to, like to say that a lot of people find themselves in the middle. They find themselves in the middle because A, the two ends are too challenging, or a lot of times people believe if they're in this end of God and all that he is, they have to throw out science and facts. But I want to encourage you today that that's not true. That's not true. So I want to, if you find yourself losing faith in God, which at times we do when we go through challenging times in life or we face with new found technologies or new things, we start to have that little bit of a question in our spirit. So don't be embarrassed because humanity has been disbelieving in God since the beginning, right? We used to worship the sun, we've worshiped trees, Zeus, and all the gods in the, you know, of the old times. I mean, there's all been all these reasons we have stopped believing in certain gods. And I love this statement by Richard Dawkins. It says, "We were all atheists about most of the gods that humanity has ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further." So, I mean, you're an atheist when it comes to the sun god or Zeus, right? But you believe in God. So I thought that was kind of an interesting point. And now early Christians were considered atheists. Because their message to the pagans was, you've got the wrong God. Right? They're like, we're going to serve this God. Your gods are wrong. So they were, in a sense, atheists at the time. Now this tension still exists today. I believe the tension is many people have walked away or find themselves somewhere in the middle. Now, I'm fascinated and heartbroken by the many religious deconversion stories from Christians who have walked away. They are heartbreaking. And they're heartbreaking because most of the reasons why people fall away are generally don't have anything to do with Christ or God and his actual character. So in our region of the country, 25% of people consider themselves irreligious, or most of them. Most of these were church attendees at one time. And in Portland, it's even way less than that. Portland is, it's terrible. Most people that don't, they don't believe any longer, even if they used to believe. Now, most deconversion stories have several things in common. So it's like they grew up in a religious environment, they experienced childhood conversion, and then they transitioned into like an irreligious environment. So they went to college or got outside the home, maybe stopped attending church, and they got away from it and they liked it a lot. Right? They got away from all the rules and they got to do their own thing. And they're like, I like this a lot. And then they begin asking adult questions of their childhood faith. So what they learned in Sunday school, Jesus loves me. And the things that we tell children, because that's all they can wrap their minds around. It doesn't face some of these questions that they're facing today. Challenging questions like, why is my life so hard? Why did this person die? Why is our world falling apart? Your childhood faith doesn't match up with these adult problems. And so they receive faith-based answers to fact-based questions. So then people walk away. This one person on Facebook says, one day it dawned on me, I didn't believe anymore. Now, belief is a strange thing, isn't it? You can either believe or you don't, right? You can't make yourself believe in something. You can try. Like, I believe in Santa Claus, I believe in Santa Claus, I believe in Santa Claus. Doesn't make Santa Claus, you can't do that. So once you stop believing in something, it's very hard to try to believe in that thing again. So you might have just one day realized that you just no longer believed. You no longer believed. Another story is maybe you grew up in a religious environment, you experienced a childhood conversion, tragedy happens. Something horrible happens in your family, something horrible happens to you, something horrible happens in the world, and then you begin asking adult questions of that childhood faith. And it doesn't line up. Or you also receive those faith-based, or faith answers to those fact-based questions again. You found out you couldn't believe anymore. Or the other story is you might have a mixed version. You might have just started to ask questions of your parents couldn't answer. Your pastor gave you unsatisfactory answers and handed you a book and thought your way away from a religion. People just didn't give you the answers you were looking for. Or they just didn't line up with logic. You're like, okay. That happened with me growing up. You know, I grew up in a church and a religious family. But then tragedy happens, things happen, and then I start asking these questions. And then it doesn't line up. Doesn't line up. So now, the deconverted Christians usually abandon a non-existent God, and the Bible tells me so, Jesus. So there's two versions that God that many people believe never existed in the first place. Somebody told me so, God, and Bible tells me so, Jesus. So I'm going to talk about the somebody told me so God. This is the God you grew up with, the God you were presented with. This is what other people tell you, somebody told me so God. So Karen Armstrong sums the problem up best. Many of us have been left stranded with an incoherent concept of God. We learned about God about the same time we were told about Santa Claus. But while our understanding of Santa Claus phenomenon evolved and matured, our theology remains somewhat infantile. And I find this so much. The more my theology is enriched, the more I realize the reason I probably fell away when I was younger is I was using that child faith to look at these tragedies that had happened in my life. And I was like, this can't be real. This God can't exist. Because he doesn't. The God that I was believing in did not exist. Now, I'm not surprised when we attained intellectual maturity, many of us rejected the God we had inherited and denied that he existed. When we hear some people describe the God they no longer believe in, I think to myself, I don't believe in that God either. That God doesn't exist. Because they'll just, you know, whatever it is. This thing, bad things happen so that a good God can't allow bad things to happen so I can no longer serve him. That's the thing we hear a lot of times. The God you quit believing in wasn't worth believing in. And who was that? So let's talk about the six gods we grew up with that don't exist. So make sure you know that these gods don't exist. That we should no longer believe in them. The bodyguard God. This is a God that doesn't allow bad things to happen to good, innocent people. I think this is the one that people struggle with the most. They see the world falling apart. They see the devastation in their own lives and the horrible things that have happened to them, the unforgivable things that have happened to their family, and go, how can a good God allow this to happen? No one has ever built a case for God based on the evil in this world. This is left over from childhood. That would be something like somebody declaring that he doesn't believe an iPhone has a creator because all the broken iPhones in the world. I mean, I thought that was a great reference. I thought, that's pretty good. God is bad and he's evil, so he didn't create the world. So, for this to be an argument against the existence of God, one must assume the following argument is for the existence of God. So, if the bodyguard God was real, a good God would not allow bad things to happen to good people, since bad things never happen to good people. There must be a good God. This is not a Christian argument for God, so bad things happening to good people is not a gotcha. Christians started with a horrible thing happening to a really, really awesome person, right? So that whole concept just doesn't fly. If that was the real God we serve, then Christianity wouldn't have got off the ground. Amen. Not to mention all the apostles and everybody that spread it, they all died in horrible, horrific ways, imprisoned and awful things happened to them. So if that was the case, then it wouldn't have started in the first place. Amen. Amen. Right. On-demand God. I also want to call this like genie God. Rub three times, get your way. I'm a really good person, God. Can I have a Ferrari? I'm a really good person. No, just. No, actually not. My new son-in-law, that is what he'd like to have. The God who always responds to fair and selfish requests, the way we would respond. So, you know, when you ask things of God that are like fair things, right? God, I'd like to be financially stable. God, please heal my family. God, please help me find a spouse. Those you think are fair questions, fair requests. God doesn't answer those, so you're like, what the heck, God? These aren't that big of an answers to ask of you. Those are not big of requests to ask of you, right? But we don't serve an on-demand God. This God does not exist. So who told you God always responds to you the ways that you expect? He doesn't. Look in the scripture. He always does things backwards. Jesus was born of a virgin, backwards. Jesus dies on the cross to save the world, backwards. It's all backwards. It doesn't make sense to us. So this on-demand God concept is not real. And so no wonder people have lost their faith in God. Because this is the God that they've learned from somebody or been told for somebody, but they walk away from because he doesn't exist. This is a somebody told me so God. Number three, boyfriend or girlfriend God. Now, this one is near and dear to my heart because I think this has got wrapped up in the worship aspect of service. They want to feel the presence of God. They want to feel God and his anointing. Now, God does do that. He does. He does. He does. But if that's what you're going after, that's like chasing a high. It is. God's going to make me feel high today. So I'm going to worship. That's not what he says. He says, worship me through the struggles. Worship me through the trials, right? Yes. He's an ever-present God. Doesn't mean you're always going to feel the presence of God. If that the case, we'd be all floating around. You know, like, you know, you've had a good, awesome prayer session, and you've been in the presence of God, you'd just be like, you know? That's the God we get to experience when he returns, right? But that's not the God that we serve here. Now, you know, the people are like, well, if God, I don't feel his presence all the time, then he must not exist. Right? But did you know that the things that are closest to you and the most all the time around you, you don't notice? How often do you notice your own heartbeat? Not very often. Usually when you're working out, you're like, oh, yeah, there it is. But most of the time, you're not like, do I feel my heartbeat? It must not exist. But God is so close to us. He's so close to us that we might not even notice his presence. How often do you realize that you're breathing? How often do you walk into a room and go, this temperature in this room is perfect? You don't. You just go in and enjoy the temperature. I want to encourage you, that's the presence of God. God is like that. We're not going to necessarily know he's with us, feel his presence, but he's so close to us that we might not even be aware. Number four, the guilt God. If you've grown up in church, this might be a God that you might have been taught that doesn't exist. This is the God we want to run away from, but it pulls us back in. You got tired of feeling guilty all the time. That's why you're like, I'm not going to serve that God anymore. Well, I want to encourage you today that that God doesn't exist. The guilt that God does not exist. Because he does not control through guilt and fear. And this is especially, if it's enjoyable, it must be sin. If it's sexual, no, absolutely not. Right? God loves, but he really doesn't like me. This one hit home for me too, you know, growing up in a Christian church. Some of that's in there, you know? And it, a lot of it's plain old manipulative. To manipulate you into whatever. But that's not the God I serve. This God does not exist. Number five, the anti-science God. And this is a God I think is relevant, especially today. And I wish I would have been taught this when I was younger growing up, because this is one I really struggled with. When you start hitting biology and you start going through science, and they start talking about stuff, and you're like, this doesn't line up. What's going on? So that you're told that you have to choose between undeniable science and unreliable religion. When religion and science conflict, we just have to go with science, right? So you just quit thinking. And I felt like that was what's told to me as a teenager. Just stop thinking about it. Just have faith. And I was like, but I want answers for this. I want answers for this. I want to encourage you that believing isn't faith. Right? Christians aren't just supposed to believe a bunch of stuff. Richard Dawson says, one of the truly bad effects of religion is that it teaches us that it's a virtue to be satisfied with not understanding. I love that. Because that was when I was told as a kid, I want to understand. And it was like, oh, you don't need to know, just have faith. Well, I'm against religion, that religion as well. Your Sunday school God probably couldn't be reconciled with science, right? Because little kids don't understand stuff like that. They don't understand. It's like telling them where babies come from. You don't tell them all the science where babies come from, right? From mommy's tummy, right? You know, you don't go into all this stuff. And that's what happens when you're in Sunday school. That's what you learn. You learn the broken down version of who God is. That's not because it's not real, but that's the broken down version. And as you get older, your theology matures, you learn a little bit more, but it does reconcile with science. It does. Now, some Christians want to say, well, I just don't believe in science. I only believe in God. Well, do you go to the doctor? I think you believe in science, right? When you're told you have cancer or might have cancer, you're sitting by the phone waiting for that call. Your friends might be praying, but you're waiting for that doctor to call you because you believe in science. And that's okay because God created science. So as Christians, we're taught that God created the earth, and science is learning how God did it. That's where we can reconcile with it, right? The more we learn about how the earth was created and all these amazing things that was done, and I love that science, God and science class that they did was so amazing. All the intricacies of creation doesn't disprove God. It proves God. It proves God. So you shouldn't feel, I know some Christians feel nervous when they come at it with science and, well, this and this and this. And you're like, oh, that's amazing that God did it that way. How cool. How cool is that? Amen. Now, the Gap God. I want to change the name to Ghostbuster God. And we got to be careful here, okay? I'm going to be careful here because God does miraculous, unexplainable things. He does. But a lot of Christians go through their lives making the unexplainable proof of existence of God. Like, ooh, this parking space is available for me. God must have been God, right? What that does is disproves God to other people. And then the other thing that happens is the more things become explainable, it would actually explain away the existence of God in that theory of that gap God or the Ghostbuster God. It's over-religifying, over-spiritualizing everything. Not that God doesn't move in miraculous ways. Don't misunderstand me. But I think we just overdo it. And so we believe in this gap God. The Ghostbuster God. Yes, the Ghostbuster God. So the God who is only credited for the unusual, coincidental, unexplainable may not be needed, right? If that's the only explanation we have for God is that unexplainable things happen, then we start explaining those things, then that God's not going to exist. Many of you have left religion and left the God of the gap. I agree, the God of the gaps is not worth living for or following. But if the God created the predictable, natural order, we should expect God to do things naturally. The God who is responsible only for the things we can't explain doesn't exist, not for long anyway. So jumping ahead, if anything were explained and unexplainable, if it would not explain anyway, away God. To believe that God is necessarily to pit yourself against science. As soon as science comes up with an explanation, you take God out of it, out of that box and insert science. The problem you have is you shrunk God to Zeus, Jupiter, and Mars, giving simple explanations for everything we don't understand. That's what they used to do back in the olden times, right? Oh, the sun god must have done that, you know, right? But the more we learn, the more they got away from those gods. Because, oh, we can explain why the plants grow out of the ground. Not that the magic sun god. I mean, the sun does have something to do with it. But you know what I mean? And so that's that kind of God we have to get away from so that God people can be presented with a God that actually does exist. When Newton concluded that gravity existed, he didn't say, well, we don't need God anymore. Right? He was like, oh, that's how God did it. And that's the way we need to look at science. So science doesn't try to explain away where those originated. Theists believe God put those into place as breadcrumbs leading back to him. So the No Testament gods, bodyguard God, on-demand God, boyfriend God, guilt God, anti-science God, and gap God. So if you stop believing, good. Because like Cupid, they don't exist. There's no reason to give up on God. These are a combination of unmet expectations, childhood explanations, ill-formed interpretation, and blatant manipulation. There are reasons to question the existence of God, but these are not they. But these are why people quit believing. To say it another way, they are all based on expectations we put on God, which is an irrational way to determine if something or someone is real. For example, if I hear someone say his dad is never around, he never calls, he has a bad reputation, he doesn't give him any money, I wouldn't say to that child, quit kidding yourself that your dad doesn't exist. So where did your view of God originate? Where did your view of God you struggle to believe in originate? Did your view of God that you grew up with, did you just grow out of it? Did you grow your grown-up questions undermine your childhood faith? Like, where do babies come from, right? Depends on who's asking, of course. So today is not an argument for God, as my scripture was talking about who God is and he's everything. But it's an argument for who God is not. And God is not these things. So I'm suggesting if you've walked away, maybe you haven't walked away from the God we're going to talk about later, but these gods. You might have walked away from gods that don't exist. Those are somebody told me so, God. And nobody needs that God. Nobody needs those gods that don't exist. So I want to encourage you, if you're a believer today and you come up across these questions, I want you to try to go back and think, you know what? Those gods don't exist. And if you're struggling with those questions in your own life, go back to the scripture and discover who God really is, what his character is, what the scriptures say about him, what literature says about him, what scientists say about him. There's many wonderful Christian scientists out there. So many wonderful people out there to go and research who God really is. I want to go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for that you are all that you say that you are. That you are a God that is just beyond mind-blowing. And God, if people are watching that have walked away from gods that don't exist, I pray that you would just work on their hearts right now. Put somebody in their lives that can answer these questions for them. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.